All right. We've been talking about wilderness for the last few weeks. And today I want to try to move a needle a little bit moving forward. And I want to talk about what does it take to get out of wilderness. As you know this story, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, a generation had gone through that and were dying. And because of that, it can affect the next generation in a negative or positive or negative or positive way. And yet, we're going to talk about how the next generation did not get so discouraged or give up on what was going on. They became better and did well with God. Does that make sense? So, it's vital for you to remember that you cannot use the past generation as a reason for you not to do well today. In other words, we all come from a generation somewhere. But that is not a reason to be stuck. Because of that generation, I cannot do this today. Even if that generation was not what you wanted to be, you can be what God wants you to be. And when you understand that, you stop the blame game. You stop the blame game. You start rising up and becoming what God wants you to be. So, let's get into it. So, to get out of, what will it take to get out of wilderness? It takes hearing God. Let's read this. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place, everywhere you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, to all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I sold to their ancestors to give them. I want you to understand what the scripture says in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, God begins to talk to Joshua and say, you'll have to lead these people to the promised land. And he tells him, and it says, you know what? Just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. You know, hearing God never changes. Church, hearing God never changes. The way Moses listened to God is the same way Joshua was going to do that. Hearing God is an ancient art. We have to learn to hear God. Most people have tuned God out. They come to church, but they never hear God's word. They hear God, but never act on it. They've tuned God out totally. And yet the Bible says here that he told him, I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. Every place you go, I will give it to you. Every land you go to, I will give it to you. Be strong and courageous. What kind of strength is he talking about? The strength to hear God. In a world that vilifies Christianity, in a world that puts down Christianity, that you will hear God even in that space. That it's not popular to be a Christian anymore. If anything, people think you're stupid to be listening to God. And yet God is as real as ever. God is as real as ever. And yet, if you take time to think through your life, how much of it are you hearing God, and how much of that is just habit? I think that many people have put God on pack and walk with habits, Christian habits. They hardly hear God. They have a Christian habit going. A very strong Christian habit that they drive, but they've hardly sat down and said, wait a minute, how much am I hearing God today? If you've been around a long time, it's easy to pack the Holy Spirit, pack the Word of God, pack all that, but have a very strong Christian ethic and habit that you just live with. And there is value for that. There's nothing wrong with that habit. But we need to hear God. And that means that you're tuned in for your life on a day-to-day basis and you begin hearing God as He leads you. That is an old habit that Moses had, that Joshua had to have, Jesus did. All the apostles had to do the same thing. And I've been on this conversation a few times this year and the year before and many other years. And I've always asked you, how much are you reading your personal Bible? You know that I can't go away from that because it's not possible for you to have a faith that is hand me down from the preacher. You got to have a faith that is yours, that is built from the scriptures in you, get in the Bible yourself. Not because some guy talks to you here, talks to you there, but say, you know what? I read the Bible and God is saying something and I need to repent of certain things. Does that make sense? Or I'm inspired to serve God. God changes our lives as we open our ears. So if you've packed hearing God and you live on habits of Christianity, that's why your life is not changing. You come to church for a long time, but you've packed hearing God and life is not changing. And so you feel miserable. You're miserable because you're not hearing. You're just there. I mean, you married people, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes your spouse is talking to you. You say, I heard you. But they said, no, you didn't hear me. I can repeat back what you said. And then you repeat back. No, you still did not hear me. The issue is not that you can repeat back that was said, but do you embrace the spirit, the heart of the message? It's not that you can regurgitate back. You said this, 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 this. You tune them out. You've actually become very good at just tuning them out and repeating what they said, but you did not hear them. They feel rejected. They feel there's a wall there. They feel they cannot cross through that. And many of us have come to that space with God. God cannot be hard with you. He feels there's a wall there. You have these habits that walk like a Christian person, but you don't hear God to move you, and growth is not happening. And yes, even if you're not married, as a single person, you've been in that place where you have friends. When they start talking to you on the phone, sometimes you even put the microphone off and you do other things, but they're just talking. They're just talking and you're walking around like, yeah, 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 yeah. And you keep saying the same words, yeah, I hear you, yeah, I hear you. But you hardly had been moved by the Word of God. That conversation is not happening. It is a habit. Too many people have lost hearing God and have sat in the pack. They've come in the habit of Christianity and they're reading their Bibles, yes. They come to church, yes, but they hardly hear the Word of God that inspires them and transforms who they are. And so God tells Joshua, son of Nun, just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. We're going to go get that promised land. God is saying that to you. In your promised land is different issues that you need to deal with. But it starts with hearing God's word. That is where it starts. Not saying you have a Christian habit. Do you hear God speak to you actively? This morning, people asked me, I have quiet times and I do get to the message as well. But it was amazing how God was speaking to me about just please me. Let the spirit flow out of you, not the other way around, trying to please people. What did you hear this morning? I hope you didn't say, I'm not having quiet time. I'm going to church anyway. A Christian habit that will not hear God. That's what we tend to do. One day at a time. God will change us if we hear the Word of God. It's one day at a time. It doesn't happen overnight. It is one day at a time. Excuse me. It takes obedience to God's Word. Now that you're hearing it, what are you going to do with it? Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from me to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. He tells him, okay, we're going to take it. I'm with you, but you are, take note of this. You have to obey though. It's not good enough that I'm with you. You have to start obeying what I'm telling you and listen to the word. Don't go to the left or to the right. Don't add to it or try to diminish it. Do what I'm asking you to do and I'll be with you. It's funny how people stop obeying the Bible of God, then come up with all this rationalization. Oh, I'm not obeying God because of the devil made me not to obey God. Really? It's not the devil. You are not obeying the Bible. We start now hiding behind things that are not real anymore. We quote things out of scripture and says, oh, that's the reason I'm not doing well. No, you have stopped obeying God. We say, I need to change this, but we're like, wait a minute, why aren't you changing? Well, I think there's a demon that is controlling me. The last time I checked the scriptures, the young guy that grew up had a demon and they prayed for him. The parents got to that and that was dealt with, but we can hide behind demons when we're not changing. We're not just obeying. I want to demystify the things that hold us down. They're very simple. As simple as not obeying God. He says, I will walk with you, but will I obey God? You say, I obey God. Remember, we're in habits. Let me ask you a question. Do you think through how you treat your spouse? Are you obeying God in that? Do you think through how you treat your friends? Are you obeying God in that? Do you think through how you treat people in the streets? Are you obeying God in that? Do you think through how you see the world? Are you obeying God in that? Last week I talked about being color-centric, leader-centric, and not being God-centric. Are you obeying God in that? You see, it's the small things that we must master first before we go to big things. If we're not doing the small things, then the big things are far from us because we haven't found out the simple principle that God moves in people that will obey Him. The Spirit will not nudge you by force. It will need you to submit. If you're not submitting to the Holy Spirit, you can rant all you want. You can fall down and turn over. Nothing will happen until you submit. And that is that you stop justifying and start saying, here I am, God, walk with me. It's a tough place to be. In a world that tells us control everything, how do you submit? You have to relearn, unlearn all the principles you walk with in the world and come to church and hear God's voice. He says, I'll be with you. You'll be successful. It takes obedience. It's that simple. It's not complicated. Trusting God and obeying what He says. If they did not take the land the first time, 40 years before this, when they were told, go and fight, they came up with stories. You know, we need to send 12 spies to go check out the land. When the spies came back, they changed the story. Oh, they are the ones that discourage us. We cannot go in there. Then when the story became that none of you are going to leave, they changed the story and said, okay, let's go in and take the land anyway. Now they were against God, saying, I'm not walking with you. You're not ready for that stuff. And then they still went and they were defeated. Why? Because they had forgotten God somewhere in the way. How hard is that? Now there's a different setup. Now they're listening. And he's dealing with the leader for us. You're going to do this. And then it says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. How is that going for you? How is your vocabulary? What comes out of your mouth? Does it show God? I've had people say, I deserve this. It's not in the Bible. You don't deserve anything. You have the grace of God. You may get the stuff you got. Yeah, we say that. It's the grace of God. The language we use says a lot. It says, wait a minute, when you speak like that, how much of that is influenced by God's will? And how much is influenced by that, by you being the idol? I will take charge of this. How's your language? It says, just by walking through the malls, you can tell what's playing. Just listen to conversations. It's amazing. I like to do that a lot. I walk around and say, okay, let's see what's happening here. Just conversation is flying. I'm not trying to listen to it. I'm just walking by and let's see what words hit me. What is on your lips? Is it the word of God or all the other things? The Bible says there, keep this book law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. How is your meditation going? Not emptying of yourself, but allowing God or being filled by God. Not the Eastern way of emptying of self. Meditation is being filled by the Word of God. Because when that is happening, you'll find that you start to speak. Day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then. But we are avoiding all this stuff. But we were hoping God walk with us. But we will not meditate. We'll not have it on our lips. We'll not talk about it. You know, it's funny how we are afraid to even say godly things in front of people because we think it's not cool.
It's not cool to be a Christian. We try to shock that out. You know, it's funny how sometimes I tend to study the Bible with people in public. It's very interesting. Some people are pretty okay. Some people, they're so conscious of, is everybody looking at us? The whole world doesn't care about us studying the Bible. And I'm tempted to tell them, we're okay, man. They're not even concerned about us. They're in their own world. Let's pray. They will not even close their eyes because it doesn't look cool to close your eyes. We do that. We do that in the neighborhood. We do that with our children. We do that with so many things, and we feel like it's not cool to be Christians. And the Bible says, then you will not be successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. He's not even asking. He's commanding. Be strong and courageous to practice the word of God. This is not a suggestion. God is saying, you want to get down with this stuff? I'm asking you to be courageous enough to do God's will. Not getting whole, but respond to me. And do my will. And you see what happens. That's what he's telling him. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Oh, let's talk about discouragement. Some of us are discouraged to the T. You've stopped praying. You're angry. My plans did not work out. If God, you are there, why is this thing going on? You know, we get so discouraged. We are so negative about God. Everything we see is just crazy. I don't like the hair. I don't like the day. I don't like the hour. And you no longer read the Bible. Then you attack Christianity. You attack God. You attack God's people. You attack everything. You're discouraged. And you're afraid. You're afraid that time is moving and maybe things will not come to pass. My experience with God is this, is that whenever I have asked God and I've tried to control it, those things never came to pass. But whenever I've let go of stuff and I've just said, God, I put this before you, I submit your will, it's amazing that those things, some have come way earlier than I thought they would happen. Others came way later. I forgot about it. My wife will always remind me, do you remember we prayed about this? I said, we did? Yeah, we prayed about it. Here it is. I'm like, wow, what an amazing space to be. And the insight is that you don't have to carry the burden of figuring out your future. You can dream, though. Amen? You can dream. You can have a vision of how it will turn out. But you don't have to carry the burden of figuring it out. That is a space of you obeying God, and he does the heavy lifting. The heavy lifting. So if you're discouraged, one thing you need to change is this idea that you have to figure it out. You submit to God. You submit to God through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. You know, Ephesians 6 talks about the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. Galatians talks about it and says, and if you don't keep in step with the Spirit, you will not know. And many of us are not in step with the Spirit. You've walked away from the Word of God and how God is treating you. The beauty I like about being in step with the Spirit is just like music, you know. If you're a musician, if you're off step, you wait until they go right and you jump in and you start dancing and it's good. It just works like that. You can jump right in. If you're off the step with the Spirit, it's time to be right back and submit to the Word of God. To let go of certain sins that prevail in your life that just taken over. That needs to be taken over. He's telling him here, be courageous. It takes courage, though, to say, I have things I need to tackle and put before God. Because when you're afraid and you're discouraged, you tend to just not deal with things. You don't want to deal with things because fear is paralyzing. Fear has the power to paralyze you totally. Simple stuff, but fear can paralyze you totally. What will people think about me? What will it look like? These are human beings trying to get heaven. Figure it out with God. Talk to people, though. You need help with people. It takes obedience to God's word. And if you're not in the word of God, how will you obey? And how will you be led? So I know that some of us have not read our Bible for a long time. Seriously, you've not taken some time to get into it. You need to go brush up as you do this, as we have these holidays, and have a look at it properly. And have some plan around what you're reading. Does that make sense? Don't just do hope, skip, and jump. Have a good plan of what am I reading. You can't read today I'm in Revelation, tomorrow I'm in Genesis,
tomorrow I'm in Habakkuk, or tomorrow I'm in George. Is there a book called George? Just checking that you are pretty alert on this one. Just checking. Is there a book? There's a book called George. Is that right? I'm not. No, just checking. Making sure you're on the right track here. Okay, moving on. Having the courage to let go. Essentially, everything I've said there is the having the courage to let go. Having the courage to let go. It takes a lot of courage to let go. A lot of courage to say, you know what, God, you're in charge. I have done what I can do, but I trust that you'll work with me. And that I will trust you even when it's not going my way, that I'll trust you. That you, God, will be in charge of my life, not me. That you'll be in charge of my marriage, not me. You'll be in charge of my parenting, not me. You'll be in charge of my single life, not me. My education, not me. That you'll be in charge of how I see the world, not me. That you'll transform me to see things in the eyes of Jesus. Just in case you thought you've achieved that, it's a lifelong journey. A lifelong journey that will be triggered from time to time. It's funny how my life has changed that as we've lived. You know, we've lived in different countries, but we also see things differently. And we challenged a lot to grow spiritually. Yeah, I know you haven't moved around a lot, but you still need to grow in this neighborhood of Gwinnett. You can see God in this neighborhood of Gwinnett as different ages come around, and as different as you age and different things come your way, you'll have to grow with that space. You cannot be stuck with yesterday and yet you're here. We have to deal with today. What is God saying to you today that we got to deal with? Amen. Have the courage to let go. It will take decisiveness. Let's talk about this for a moment. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take the possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Remember, God keeps saying, this is your own, and he's telling them this is going to happen. But he's telling, I'm going to have to walk with you. Joshua says, Joshua ordered the officers to tell the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get the provision ready. 3 days, we're going to leave. It'll take decisiveness. I think some of us have been in situations. Maybe you struggle with a sin, but you've never been decided to say, I'm not going back there. Maybe your sin comes through the computer and through the phone, and you've never said, I am not going to those sites anymore, and I will put on all the things I need to put on my phone and computer, make sure that when I search that stuff, it doesn't come. But beyond that, I make a decision that I will not be impure about this kind of thoughts. Right. That I'm decisive that this is the day I make that decision. We like to say, God willing, I hope, when it comes to this, God willing, I will not do it, I hope. But when it comes, I'll see you tomorrow. Yes, I'll see you tomorrow at 2. Especially if money is involved, I'll be there. So how is it when it comes to God, we want to say, oh, well, we'll see what happens. When it comes to money, I'll be there. We're very decisive. I'll make it happen. If I'm running late, I'll call and make sure I'm on my way. We're very decisive. When it comes to repenting, God willing. God willing. I know. James says, God willing, we'll see you tomorrow. The correct context of that is we want to get there, but God willing, we're coming that direction. It's not God willing, I'll not make it happen, but it's God's will. That because I refuse to take my responsibility, I'm not decisive, I'm now going to chuck everything to God willing. We're not decisive. We're not decisive when it comes to the things that are destroying our lives. And I'm aware that certain sins take a long time to deal with. But you need to make the decision that I will start tackling it today. I'm aware that you may not repent overnight. That you may have issues that come back to you and attack you in different ways. But at least make the decision that I am going to walk in God's way. Not in my own way. I'll let God help me deal with this stuff. That requires that, one, you're in the Word of God. Two, that you even get into fasting. That you start fasting about these things. Three, that you have people. The Bible talks of one another relationships, people that you really have good relationships with, or a brother or sister, that they can help you to overcome this issue. That you talk through that stuff, not try to fight alone and talk later, oh, I was struggling with this and I overcame. It doesn't work like that. It comes back again. That we talk through that, and we work with relationships and come around and overcome. It takes that kind of decisiveness.
It can be being an alcoholic. It can be smoking. It can be negativity. It can be anything. You have to be decisive. When you're not decisive, you're forever feeling shame, guilt, and confused about God. And you wonder what, then you come to church and I'm saying good news. I'm saying God is on your side. He wants you to overcome. And you think I'm saying he wants to get you.
No! He's telling them, I've already given it to you, but in 3 days, can we do something out?
The fact that you make a decision to be decisive, God determines when it will happen. Don't forget that. Because we plan, he determines the steps. We plan, he determines the steps. Not as an excuse. As we've decided, we're changing. It's going to be different. It's not going to be a place of... We have to be decisive. You see, for some of us, Jesus is not Lord. You have to make that decision. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. If you're visiting and studying the Bible, to be, make Jesus Lord of your life is to let Jesus influence how you live and be centered by Jesus. And if you're a Christian that's been around a long time and you've lost that sense of Jesus being Lord, you need to be decisive and say, I need to go back to making Jesus Lord of my life. Because I feel like I do too much with how I feel, what I want. I just do things with my own philosophy. I'm not guided by God. And when that is happening, you're not decisive, so you're full of shame, guilt, and all kind of things, spiritual issues begin to plague you. You will not be healthy, happy. In fact, you can become rebellious altogether. Why? Because you're not decisive about Jesus is Lord. The beauty of God is that he gives you the free will. We speak about this very strongly, but you have a free will to choose to make that decision. If you don't, the consequences come our way anyway. It will take selfless relationships to get out of wilderness. So let's read about this. But to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribes of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you. And until they too have taken possession of land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward sunrise. Some of these guys had already attained what the dream was. Moses told Joshua that, you know what? These guys that already have their own place, they're happy. They can stay there, but all fighting men must now come and help these other men to go over to the promised land. For that to happen, you have to be selfless. Why should I go fight? What if I die and come back and never come back to my wife and children and my cows and land? Why should I go? But he said, you guys have to go with me. We're going to have to go fight and help people. Spiritually, sometimes you're in a good space and somebody else is struggling. Please, we need one another relationships that can help each other cross over and overcome issues. I need to say something about this. We used to call it discipling. Getting together with someone. Now, that word, depending on how you experienced it, it can give you different feelings. But this is 2018. Now, hear me out. We have taken time in the last 2 years to set a foundation of safe relationships. If you're not safe, you need to repent and go back and reread and make sure you're becoming safe. That you're not putting people down. You're not doing Matthew 7, judging, putting them down, but rather you're in Galatians 6, gentle, restoring people.
And I think that many of us haven't taken time to study how that works. So what we do is we stay away from relationships.
You cannot function as an island. The reason you feel so alone and lonely, is because you don't have one another relationships. Now, church, it takes time to build friendships. Eating together, meeting outside, even when it's cold, amen?
Even when it's cold, we're going out. We're going to go somewhere and sit out there and have a conversation. Are you coming to my house or I'm coming to your house, amen? Even when it's raining, I'm not sure I want to go out. No, you need to go out and get in the spirit of being in one another relationship.
You cannot do Christianity alone.
We're in family groups. What's the point of family groups? It's to be connected into another, one another relationship. Does that make sense? What is the point of showing up and we just don't have great one another relationships?
For some of us, hardly even get together with anyone. And then we get all complicated. Where does the Bible say this? Where does the Bible say that? You know, it's like saying, where does the Bible you should say you should eat 3 meals a day? Why are you eating them anyway? You're becoming weird now. You want me to just, you've gone into this proving ideas of things now. Where does the Bible say you should wake up in the morning? See how we become weird? When I start asking these questions, you realize how weird you become when you start asking these funny questions. Like, prove to me. I'm asking the same question. I'm being weird now. That's the point I'm trying to make. I have a point to say that you know the principles of living, and you know the principles of life, and you know the principles of family. That's the same thing being built in the church of God. Amen? So we all need to work on this thing and get together. And I cannot definitely go through into all of it, but we will focus on that, God willing, next year pretty well. God willing applies there. We have many months to go. Who knows who'll be around, you know? Let's finish up. It takes overcoming complaining. If you follow the story we've talked about in the wilderness and how the Israelites were functioning, all the time they got out, they could complain. Oh, why did you bring us here? Why did you not leave us in Egypt? That was their predisposition. Complaint was part of their culture. They struggled. They always complained about what was not right. You, a man called Moses, why did you bring us out there? Did we not tell you to leave us there? And we talked about last week the culture of complaint and how we have to overcome that. Yet today I want to talk to us a little bit about when you quit complaining, you have to overcome it. You have to overcome it. My wife is on this thing that she shared with me and it really convicted me. She's no longer asking God of anything. She's just thanking Him and not complaining. And as I went to pray that morning and I was convicted, I said, I got to do the same thing. It happens, you see. That happens sometimes. So Joshua 1:16-18 says, then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. But wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as He was with Moses. Wait a minute. That generation was not very good with Moses. You follow that? They complain a lot, but now it's just like He was with Moses, we'll be with you. They've changed. It's a different generation. They've changed. They no longer complain. So why did you bring us out? Whoever rebels against you, your word, and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, we will put to death. Only be strong and courageous. That's a strong way of dealing with things. We're not doing that. But they overcame complaining. He says, okay, we're going to go out. He tells them, here's where we're going to go. They're not caught up in, why is this not favoring me? They're like, okay, we're going to figure this out. Just be with God, just like Moses was. And we're totally behind you. Just be with God. If you have any role in leading people, please be with God. Don't run with your whims. Be with God. Let God lead you. If you do any role of leadership, let God lead you. Don't run your own things. And then if you're in that family group, please be supportive. Let's make it happen. If you're in that house church, let's make it happen. Amen.
Let's walk together. Let's make it happen. Let's be the people that catalyze it and make it turn around. Let's not be those who rebel and not obey the word of God. We have to overcome complaining, and then God does miracles. My prayer is this, is that we no longer will be people that sit back here and complain, but that will ask the question, how will God walk with me? God bless you.